Welcome to the End Zone, where this week we continue our End Zone's preseason primer specials. But you know what, Kevin? I'm feeling something bigger than the NFL in the air. Something happened today, the day we're recording. Something happened that it could it be bigger than the NFL?
Oh, dude, bigger than the NFL? I'm gonna say no.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. No. You know, I'm trying to give a tease here, man. You got to work with me a little bit.
Okay. Yay.
Yeah, okay, Kevin's just killing it. On that note, let's tell you where you can not only find the End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, you can also use the Podbean app to search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, Spotify, or Kevin Wears a Bowler. You know, because bowlers are cool, apparently.
Hey, rocking my Raider bowler. I bought this at Dragon Con years ago, and I put Raider stuff on it. Yeah.
Of course, you can also go to our Facebook page and see pictures of Kevin and his bowler, I'm sure, at some point.
For those of you that don't know, a bowler is a type of hat.
This is true.
You see a lot of them on Peaky Blinders.
Or think Dum Dum Dugan in the Marvel Universe.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at fandompodcastnetwork. You can follow us on Twitter at fanpodnetwork. You can follow me, Kyle, on Twitter at akylew or on Instagram at akylefandom. Where can people find you, Bowler Boy?
You can find me in my awesome Raider bowler hat that also, check this out, if you turn it around, Kyle, it says Raider Nerd on it too. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix/Raiders.
Is that anything like Sylvester Stallone as Link Hawk and Over the Top? When you turn it, your personality changes?
You know, it's funny. I have a tradition. When the Raiders are behind, I need them to rally, I turn the Raider Nerd side around. That's what I do.
There we go.
But there's nothing that can compare to Over the Top switching the hat backwards moment. There's nothing.
Yeah. Because you get that
special
music that plays.
Except maybe the handshake between Dylan and Arnold Schwarzenegger's character in Predator, maybe.
Dylan and Dutch, yeah, that might be it. You know, that does explode mountains, but that's for culture clashes. Of course, you can also visit our TeePublic store, teepublic.com, search the Fandom Podcast Network, where we do have End Zone gear up for this year. Get out there, support the End Zone.
Hey, I got a message from TeePublic. There's a sale going on this weekend.
Oh, they got a flash sale going on this weekend, so there you go. And of course, too, we love feedback. Go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as it used to be known, and leave us a 5-star review. We love the feedback in general, especially those 5-star ones. In fact, that's all Kevin will accept. So just saying, don't make him turn the hat.
That's right. Don't make me turn the hat. Don't.
But anyway, we do have news to talk about. And yes, the big news of the day as we're recording, it isn't the NFL, Kevin. It's the XFL, and it's back.
Do you need some water there, buddy?
Either that or 3 more packs a day. I don't know. And no, I don't smoke, so.
That's funny.
But, the names for the teams were announced for the XFL today. They are starting with 8 teams, and those 8 teams are as follows. We have the Dallas Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, the Los Angeles Wildcats, the New York Guardians, the St. Louis Battlehawks, the Seattle Dragons, the Tampa Bay Vipers, and the Washington Defenders. Even though there's a team in Tampa Bay, I got to say, I'm kind of liking the Battlehawks.
You know, it's funny, when I got the notification on my phone, I think it was Bleacher Report, or I forgot where it was that I got it, and all I got was the forwarded tweet here from the XFL, and I saw just the pictures of the logos, not the names of them as you read off there, and I was like, wait, which one's the LA one? What is it? And I'm clicking on it and I'm looking up. Nope, it's not the Vipers. Oh, this Dragons. Oh, damn it, it's Seattle. I was looking at the Renegades. I was looking, man, the Dallas Renegades actually look kind of cool. And then I look at the Guardians. I'm like, oh, maybe it's that one. And I don't see that. And then I see right to next to it, I see, oh, LA is in the design. And I'm like, Wildcats? That's a high school team. Lame. Sorry, that's my two cents on that.
Yes, no, I will agree with you. I'm intrigued because I'm going to see what they do, if they learned any lessons from last time and learned any lessons from the AAF. They've got a couple of actually known name quarterbacks that have agreed to be part of the XFL. Landry Jones, who was the backup for Ben Roethlisberger for a time in Pittsburgh, and Ryan Mallett, who played in both Baltimore and New England and in Houston.
Remember the offhanded joke that Gruden made on Hard Knocks, saying, hey, you know, there's another league for him if you want to, you know, play for $300.
Hey, Nathan Peterman, your future LA Wildcats starting quarterback.
Oh, we don't know yet. Could be Long Neck Glennon.
Yeah, well, I told you last week, I'm way too familiar with the Mike Glennon experiment. So anyway, let's talk about actual NFL preseason, because there's several things going on. But Kevin, I think because this one plays close to the end zone heart, Jimmy GQ came back for his first football action since his knee injury, but we might have to really rethink about renaming the award because he finished that game with a 0 quarterback rating.
Well, there's a few other quarterbacks that didn't do well, as you know. Keep in mind, though, how long did he play? You know,
he actually played a good quarter, but what I've heard too is that Nick Mullins, the guy who filled in for him last year, which I know Raider fans don't like to think about in particular, has actually supposedly outplayed him in training camp.
It's saying here that he went 1 for 6 for 0 yards. So he threw 6 times, 1 connected, but obviously was not for positive yardage. So maybe there's an offensive line issue there. Who knows? But I wouldn't judge it on this game. We've seen what he can do.
Yeah. So
by the way, uh-huh, last I checked, still good looking. Still qualifies for the GQ Man Crush Award. Just saying.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just saying.
He didn't get like a bunch of tattoos on his neck, did he?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, you know, there you go.
We'll see. I'm going to skip the next two stories on the list. We'll get back to those in a little bit because it'll mix in with something we're going to talk about here a little bit later. But Kevin, I thought you went to the doctor for your Josh Gordon. Try to get rid of that rash. It just keeps coming back.
Yes, he does.
Do you think if he played for any other team than New England, he would have been reinstated?
Nope.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling too, because New England could really use him. I, all seriousness, I do hope this guy gets his, this is it for this guy. He gets his life turned around and goes, but if he gets suspended again, he just has to be done, Kevin. This is ridiculous. This is his 7th reinstatement.
I don't know. I'm tired of Josh Gordon right now. I was I was rooting for him the first couple of times, you know. So I got a question though. Hold on.
Yeah.
He was on the roster last year, right?
Yeah, he got traded from Cleveland to New England, and then like 3 games into his New England career, he got suspended again.
Okay. So technically, does he have a Super Bowl ring? Or is it because he got suspended and he did not participate?
Yeah, I think it's because he was suspended, he's not eligible.
Okay. All right. I was curious about that. I'm like, wait a minute. Does he actually have, even though he didn't really earn it, you know how certain players get injured and don't play and stuff like that, but are still on the roster. They obviously get rings, but I don't know the details about being suspended or not. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the highlights, though, that came out of week 2 of the preseason. Some people who may be on the upswing or on the downswing. This is according to NFL.com. Somebody who's been on the upswing most of preseason is a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, Curtis Samuel. This guy's been getting a lot of hype. He finished the season real strong, and a lot of people are really liking him on the Panthers, teaming up with Cam Newton and DJ Moore and Greg Olsen. He's been having a really good preseason.
Or was he drafted? I don't remember.
No, he was a first round pick. He was a running back coming out of Ohio State, and they converted him to a receiver in Carolina. And a lot of people seem to be kind of high on him.
Hold on. He was drafted as their number one pick, is what you're saying.
He converted to wide receiver coming out of the NFL Combine. They had 2 number one picks.
Okay,
that year.
So there's the NFL Combine and then the draft.
Right.
Okay, so when he was drafted as a receiver?
He was drafted as a receiver, but he was a running back. He would play more running back in college.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Another person who's been on the upswing is, of all people, Jameis Winston, who is not making the silly decisions he was known for so far in the preseason games he's played in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has a ton of offensive talent. If Jameis's problem has always been his decision-making, if Bruce Arians, who is the quarterback whisperer, even you have to admit, I mean, he did get Carson Palmer turned back around. If he's got into Jameis Winston's head, the talent is there and the offensive talent is there. This could be something to watch for Jameis
Winston. This will be an interesting note for fantasy drafters on how high or how high you regard his average draft position. You know, he's probably going to be drafted as a backup quarterback for most fantasy players. But if Bruce Arians can do his magic, to me, I think it's more of a maturity level with him as well. He's got all the talent, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I'm going to start this now, Kevin. The future starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, Jacoby Brissett, had a very nice weekend in Indianapolis because it looks like he might even be starting the regular season for the Indianapolis Colts.
Why do you say that?
Andrew Luck is dealing with an ankle injury, and it's looking more and more like he may not be ready for the start of the season.
That's right. I heard about that news. I thought you're referring to something else. Now, I gotta ask you, okay? And I think you said something similar last year. When we were talking on our first kind of back to the end zone podcast, you were very high on Andrew Luck, and I was not. And I've been hearing a lot of talk about his draftability. I think he was quarterback. I want to say, according to ESPN, he was like quarterback, like between 5 and 8. Okay. And he's kind of dropping back for obvious reasons. I'm just not buying into him at all, even if he is healthy.
If he's healthy, I'm buying into him. The problem is he can't stay healthy. He got a huge year last year. He was probably the second best quarterback in the league statistic-wise last year. It's just he can't stay healthy. And the thing is, Jacoby Brissett's proven he can be a good quarterback in this league. Yeah, he played on that team that, when Luck was hurt, that was horrid. But it wasn't his fault. He didn't have talent around him. But, I mean, so I think Indianapolis is sitting pretty good with Brissett as filling in as a starter if Luck's only going to miss a couple of weeks. But I don't trust Andrew Luck to stay healthy at this point. Yeah. And the problem with this injury he has, and it's every injury, it's like this huge mystery. It's like you don't have the full details on it. It's bizarre.
I wouldn't draft. He would be a backup quarterback to me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that would be my thing,
you know,
too.
And he probably could be a steal if you think about it, too. It depends on how many quarterbacks you can keep in your leagues for fantasy. In my leagues, I keep it to only 2 because I don't want people hoarding quarterbacks.
Yep. On the downside of things, Seattle Seahawks rookie DK Metcalf, who was having a really good preseason for them and was looking like he was going to be a good contributor, is going to at least miss the start of this season, first few weeks. He's looking to have some knee surgery. I have not heard since then if they've got a timetable for his return.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to see where your notes is. You're kind of jumping around here. Where are you?
Right under winners and losers from week 2 of preseason.
Okay. I lost you, but yeah. Sorry, I lost the notes.
That's okay. Well, anyway,
you jumped around a little bit here, and I was trying to keep up. So,
okay, so here's another. We'll skip that. Well, another interesting thing, if you can get back to the main page of the notes, Kevin, is Le'Veon Bell is not going to play at all in the preseason by coach's decision.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
This guy didn't play all of last year. I think he could probably use a little preseason play.
Is he showing up for camp?
He has shown up for camp.
Is he exercising in camp?
He is exercising in camp.
Does he have any helmet issues? Is his feet are okay?
No. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sit his ass. Yeah. No. Not any amount of money they're playing. They don't want to risk anything. Just he knows how to play.
Yeah.
As long as he's there, being a teammate, showing up in meetings, doing his thing, I'm fine with that.
I would like to see him take a few hits in the regular season, in the preseason before the regular season, but. That's just me. If he would have played last year, that would be a different story, but he didn't play last year, so it could go either way.
Guess is that the coaching staff feels that what they've seen him do in practice, they're fine with his health and his ability to do things. He's in meetings. He knows he's learning schemes. He's just not going to perform them until it counts.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now, Kevin, I want to ask you, did you feel maybe, I think it was about Sunday, Monday, that all of a sudden the NFL felt a little more back to itself? It felt a little more normal. Like something might have been a little off with the NFL right now, but something happened and now the NFL feels back on kilter.
Would that be a possible, you know, sleeper candidate for Jimmy GQ man crush?
No, I don't think about that. but no, this is something very important because this involves a player who the NFL just doesn't feel the same without him playing in the league, or at least riding the pine in the league.
Okay, I was trying to figure out what story you were going to because you've jumped around on the notes here. So
yeah. So
would you be speaking about Josh McCown?
Yes, Josh McCown, who retired in the offseason, is back in the NFL. He has signed a contract to play quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles because you have Nate Sudfeld, who broke his wrist. The other backup on the team, Cody Kessler, is in concussion protocol. Carson Wentz has proven he maybe can't last a full season.
This might be a really good position for him. This should be. I tell you right now, the pine that he's riding is not going to stay warm.
But no, it's just life is better when Josh McCown is in the National Football League, Kevin.
I forgot he retired. I was just like, all right.
And finally, Kevin, and this kind of affects us because it affects one of the teams that we will be, both your Raiders and my Chiefs will be competing against this year, more my Chiefs, because, you know, good team that everybody's thinking they'll battle out for first place for. Derwin James, young, outstanding safety for the San Diego Chargers. Guy I really like. I liked him coming out of Florida State last year as a rookie. He's going to be out till November. He had a foot injury and had to have surgery on his foot. This is a pretty big blow for the Chargers.
Hence why don't put Le'Veon Bell out there. yeah, this sucks. But I'm not.
It didn't even happen in a game. It happened in practice.
Yeah, I'm not crying about it, though. It sucks for the team. I still think the Chargers are overrated.
Well, I think this is definitely a big blow to them. So now, Kevin,
real quick, back to the Chargers. I did see a report. I don't know how true it is, but it was one of the Melvin Gordon updates, and apparently he's, from what I read from it, and take it at face value, please, fans, he is prepared to pull a Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too in the NFL. I saw that on NFL.com
so
as well.
So if you want to draft him, buyer beware.
Yep, exactly. So, okay, so because I skipped around, and the reason why I skipped around is this, because what we're going to talk about next will lead into the other thing that we're going to get to, and that is, of course, your review of Hard Knocks. But we got to talk Antonio Brown, and I'm done with the jokes. I'm done of having fun with it and everything like this. Yes, he is back practicing, but we went through the whole thing. He filed a second grievance against the NFL after they ruled against his helmet. Kevin is obviously taking off his bowler and looking for his helmet for podcasting. He went through the grievance. Mike Mayock called him out on Sunday, just saying it's time. It's time to let it go. It's time to be in camp.
You're either all in or you're all out.
You're not all out. And he showed up Monday, showed up to practice, came out, didn't wear a helmet coming out, but apparently he did put on a helmet and practice with the team. So two things here, Kevin. We had a little bit of a talk with our good friend Jennifer Walk about this on Facebook, and I think we all came to a mutual understanding. Antonio Brown is definitely pulling a T.O. and just being a freaking prima donna, putting the spotlight on himself, whatever. What I was, and I said this in our conversation, I so commend Mike Mayock for calling him out like he did. That is what needed to be done at this point. I have a lot of respect for Mayock, always have. This was a great move because I thought he did it in a way where it wasn't disrespectful, but he was like, enough is enough.
Yes, he did, and it was time for him to say that. But and I think he said it at the right time. I'm not calling ABTO right now, but he is a diva. But if you watched, well, let's go back a little bit. I just want to give my opinion. Do you know what I've been calling all of this? And I've
clickbait.
Clickbait, and I've also been calling it white noise. Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this is being over dramatized by the clickbait makers and the media, and because they've been doing it and people are feeding on it, then it makes CBS, it makes NBC, it makes ESPN. And when people say that it makes ESPN and ABC or CBS, then it's really a big deal and a big story. There's just really nothing else to talk about right now. And so let's target AB, and because, you know, of what he did with, you know, last year and all that kind of stuff. So, and my opinion is, I'm more curious about how he is represent or how he is being, how he is with his teammates. And of course now his coaches. And it was getting to the point to where when Mike Mayock stepped in and said that, that it wasn't, in my opinion, as bad as everyone was portraying it to be. And people were letting it really bother them, which I found fascinating. I'm like, to me, I treated it as white noise, and not, I wasn't getting invested into every single report and this whole helmet thing and stuff. All I care about is if he's going to be at practice eventually, be with his teammates, travel with his teammates, and be there opening weekend. Now, two things. If you the recent Hard Knocks, which was last night, which you haven't seen, but I have.
I have not had a chance to see. I know, but I know it was pretty much, from what I've gathered from reading reviews and stuff, a majority of the episode was focused on this Antonio Brown situation.
No, not a majority. Just, it was addressed, and but it was not the majority of the episode. There was a segment in it, and it was addressed, and they showed Mike Mayock's thing, you know, calling out Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown was there, including, and his agent Drew Rosenhaus was there as well. And you can definitely tell that when he came to the practice, what was funny was he had his helmet on. And when he came to the big huddle in the beginning, you know, or when Gruden was there, he says, "Is Tony Brown here?" And they're like, "Yeah, there he is. Oh, there he is." You know, he had on his helmet. It wasn't the one that he wanted. And he was there and he was getting along with his, you know, very candidly, he was getting along with his teammates. And he spoke briefly on it, and not in so many words. I can't remember exactly how he did it, so I'm paraphrasing. But he's happy to be back with his team. And he also says that like I said, I'm paraphrasing, he's tired of the noise. He said the noise. In addition to that, also, who's the announcer, the narrator guy, the actor that does the narration,
Liev Schreiber,
also used that phrase. Now that they're beyond the noise, they're ready to get back at work. And he was practicing, doing his stuff, and he went with the team to Arizona. He was practicing out there. And Gruden said, "Look, I'm glad you're here, but you're not playing today, but I want you out there next to me." And after he went out and did his pregame warm-ups and everything, he went and suited up and went out there on the sideline, showed up with the team, stayed there, rooted on everyone else. And it was great. There was a great scene with him and Abrams talking about stuff on the sidelines after the Raiders are kind of killing it out there and doing a great job against the Cardinals. And so it's one of those things where he is there now and he's wearing the helmet that he doesn't want to wear, but he's wearing it. He's a teammate now and he's at practice. His feet are getting better. The stuff that he's doing, by the way, when he's in practice and at the very end of last night's episode, there was a great song that was being played. I'm like, I know who that is. Do you know who Leonard Cohen is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. At the very end of the episode, Leonard Cohen's song, "You Want It Darker," was playing, and they showed Antonio Brown going through some drills. You know that machine that shoots the footballs out?
The jugs machine, yes.
Yes, he was catching them all with his left hand and throwing them back.
Oh, yeah, catching I've seen him
hand,
do
throwing
it.
Back, catching them, throwing them back. So anyway, I'm hoping – what I like about what Hard Knocks is doing is that they're not shying away from the Antonio Brown thing, because in the beginning of the episode, like I said, he wasn't dominating the episode, but they showed a briefing room of the ESPN or NFL showing all of the hyped AB drama. And so they weren't shying away from it, but you could definitely tell from when he was talking to the camera, he's ready to be back at work. So I'm hoping that this kind of starts to shut people up and just get back to regular football and not the drama stuff. So, and also yeah. The Mike Mayock thing, I love that guy, man. That guy really is the perfect hire for the Raiders. And I just want to put a couple of highlights out there. I got to mention this, the music that is being played during Hard Knocks is fantastic. And I would literally buy the soundtrack for the Raiders Hard Knocks because it is fantastic. The last episode, Mike Mayock schooling Mad Max, what do they call him? Mad Max, what's his last name? Mad Max Crosby. He was the one that broke his hand, got it cast up, and he came back and out playing. Schooling him on Bootsy Collins. Do you know who Bootsy Collins is, Kyle?
Oh, yes. I don't know who Bootsy
Famous
Collins is.
Bass player. Yeah. Probably the best bass player ever. I thought that was great. Metallica playing their song Blacken during the Rams scrimmage was fantastic. Luke Wilson, one of the new tight ends, was there talking with one of the other tight ends, Darren Waller, saying, yeah, man, I was blasting Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears, getting pumped up for the game. Are you familiar with that song? And he was like, nah. He's like, oh, you should be, man. So I'm really digging the music, man, I got to tell you. So there you go. There's my take on Antonio Brown and, I guess, you know, Hard Knocks.
Well, my hope is this. I hope for the league's sake, this is over and done with, and we move forward. And whether you agree with it or not, this is me. This is me talking about the player. He's just as much responsible for the noise as other things were. So, I just like I said, it's time to go out there.
Not.
It's time to
play.
No,
he's not. That's the media. The media is responsible for the noise, most of it anyway. Yes, he's doing what he's doing. It's not like he's sitting there like on a high horse saying, I'm not going to play if I don't get it. He was just saying that just to get some attention. And yes, the media loves that attention, but I'm blaming the media on this. And you guys got to really be careful and not get so wrapped up in it, man. I'm the diehard Raider fan, and I know what to put at arm's length. And you guys got to do that.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Oh, like I said, I think sometimes Antonio Brown, and again, this is kind of wide receiver mentality.
And you know what?
Too.
It's funny too, because it's like, he's not like, you know, beating people up. You know, he's not doing all this other silly stuff. And you know what's really funny about the Richie Incognito thing? Have you been watching him on Hard Knocks?
I have. I've caught a little
bit
of
him.
Okay,
do you remember
on Hard Knocks,
the little scuffle that they got with the Rams while they were doing their thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He wasn't part of that. He was sitting back and he says, oh, they just need to cool down. You know what he said? Do you remember his quote? He said, let me tell you what I learned in counseling.
Yeah, with Incognito, it's
that didn't make the news. You know, this is a guy that went and took care of business. You know, he went and got his head checked.
Well, he's had that checked multiple times, but that's a whole Incognito's a whole different thing, and I'm not.
Just loves his old helmet, and yes, he's a diva, but it's not like he's committing crimes and getting away with them.
Well, I know where you're going there, so. You know, I'm not even, you know, I've already addressed that too, so. But anyway, we're going to move on to better subjects here. Actually, what we're going to do is take a little break and let you hear what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little fantasy football.
Yeah,
because
fantasy,
draft time
baby.
Is right on the corner. So we will be right back.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with host Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So, Kevin, we got fantasy football time. Drafts are coming up. Mr. I'm trying to schedule two drafts on the same day.
Yeah, I have to.
Well, no, I was talking about in your own leagues that you were trying to set up. One right after the other.
miscalculated the Eastern time for the Pacific time. Yes. Well, wait a minute. No, it wasn't at the same time. It was one was like...
One was right after the other. It was like one was like at 10 p.m. and the other one was at midnight.
Yeah, that's right. I think I got that fixed now.
Think? Yeah, yeah. I think there was some West Coast bias involved in that.
Yeah, probably. I will say that was a boo-boo on my part, yes.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a few things in fantasy here real quick, Kevin, because we're going in and it's going to be one of the weirder first rounds for fantasy this year when you add in injuries, holdouts, some questionable things. So I want to just kind of go down the list of guys who might you would consider top 20 picks, let's just say, and see how many of them actually have some questions on them.
Okay.
Obviously, you have Ezekiel Elliott holding out. That doesn't look like it's going to resolve itself anytime soon.
I heard that the Dallas Cowboys were going to announce a contract.
Jalen Smith.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was Jalen Smith.
Okay. All right, whatever.
You've got Melvin Gordon holding out, which like we talked about a little bit ago. It looks like it's going to run into the regular season as well and maybe out for the whole season. You've got Le'Veon Bell, who we have not seen play in over a year now.
Yeah.
And even the last time he played a full season was almost 3 years ago. You've got Andrew Luck with a very questionable injury that people are calling into place. Right there, you're talking 4 to 5 of your top, probably top 20 picks. And it feels like it is a little bit of a transition year in the NFL. Yes, a lot of people have Saquon Barkley up at their number one pick. But you got to wonder, the Giants have no wide receivers. They're going to be putting 8 men in the box against Barkley all day. And it could even get worse when they put in rookie quarterback Daniel Jones.
Well, they picked up a new guy. They got Sterling Shepard, and who was the guy though? They got someone on.
Golden Tate, but he's suspended.
Yeah, he is suspended. Yeah, so that is going to be interesting. So you have to adjust for that as well. Golden Tate's stock is definitely dropped because of that. He's definitely not going to be probably in the top 20. That's for sure. But he is going to be steal. He's going to be a steal later on in probably the. Maybe 13th round, you know. You've already filled up your top two wide receiver choices.
Yeah, but I mean, it just feels like we're in a year where there's more questions at the top of an NFL draft than I think there has been in a while.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what's going to happen, and it's especially when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott, I still think he's going to be drafted within the first round. And because there's that top four running backs right there. Okay, let's talk about them. You got Ezekiel, you've got Saquon Barkley, you've got McCaffrey, and you've got Alvin Kamara, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the golden quattro there, right? Then when it gets to 5, 6, and 7, whether who's going to be playing or not, what I find more interesting, and Kyle, you're absolutely right, it is a weird season because of these players.
Yeah. Oh, another name I didn't throw out, Todd Gurley.
Yes, exactly. No, perfect point. Thank you. So I think Todd Gurley, they're saying he's healthy. I think he's probably going to be a nice steal there. I could see someone taking him over Ezekiel right now because you just don't know. But there's still the health issue thing, you know, or is he completely thing? But what I'm seeing is quarterbacks being taken extra early here, especially your quarterback. The average draft position for him is definitely at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. So we're looking between, you know, 10 to 15. This is what I find interesting because also Travis Kelce, the number one tight end, is going to be, it's like, how bad do you want that number one tight end spot? He is going in the first round.
Yeah.
It's more about like when you stop drafting
running backs
and you want to shore up those top other positions because the running back depth is deep. Just, you know, you're not going to, if you're not drafting in the first five rounds, you're not going to get those four or five, but there's still some great depth. And so people are going to go, well, I think I'm still going to get a decent duo of running backs, but I really want that quarterback payoff. I really want that tight end payoff. Yeah. That's what I find interesting. Speaking of, have you done any drafts yet?
I have not done any drafts yet, but I'm planning to this weekend. However, speaking of drafts, this is what I was going to bring up. I obviously do your two leagues, but I also do a CBS Sports League that I've been in for 20 years now. And our draft order came out today, and we're a 12-team league snake draft, and I am in the 12th position.
Oh, no. How did you find out so soon? Did they just set it up because know it?
They do a random. When they pay for the league, they didn't do immediately doing a five random thing. And the fifth one is the final draft order. The fifth round. And I finished 12th. There is no way Patrick Mahomes in this league falls to me at 12. These guys.
No.
He'll be a top three pick in this league.
Really?
Yeah, he will be.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting how the dichotomy changes from a 10 team to a 12 league because I'm also in a 12 team league, and that is with the Silver and Black UK guys there, the Booster Club there in London. And since I'm a member, I pay my dues, I get in on that league. And my draft position this year, they already set it, is at number 4.
Yeah. Well, see, if Mahomes is there at 12, I'm snagging him. There's not even a question of that. And it's because it's a snake league, I'll have back-to-back picks. Depending on the running backs that are there, that's the thing. I hate this is why I'm not a big fan of snake drafts, I mean, especially in 12-team leagues, because you're waiting forever for players. And a lot of players go off the board, and you've got to fill holes. But in the way fantasy football is anymore, you know, if a Tyreek Hill Travis Kelce combo is there because of Patrick Mahomes, do you consider that at like a 12-13 pick?
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, those are the weird things that you have to look at because you have to reach for those players that you really want. And like I said, the wide receiver and running back, wide receiver depth is huge. Running back a little less, but still plentiful. But you really have to secure decent running backs. So that's a tough call. That's interesting. It's interesting to see how it goes. So what I would do if I were you is do a mock draft now that you know. And you can pick in most mock drafts, you can pick where you want to go and practice that 12 spot because I'm going to have to do the same for my league. When I do mock drafts, I like to choose where I go because I want to see how the draft turns out and to kind of see the trends of what's happening. And, you kind of start to see, you know, where wherever you do end up and you're randomized. I think mine randomized like an hour before. Yeah, an hour before on our two leagues, the ESPN leagues now, which we'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, it's going to be, it is, like you said, it is a little weird, but it's going to be interesting to see who's been paying attention to some sleepers as well, you know?
Yeah. So, well, let's do that. Let's talk about your leagues right now, Kevin, your ESPN leagues.
Okay, so as I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, last year, our trophy league, let's talk about the trophy league here. Last year was in the NFL league, and I am not happy with the way that NFL was running. You know, it was just, I just didn't like the way they loaded up their stats. It wasn't user friendly in my opinion. And honestly, I felt spoiled with ESPN because ESPN is my favorite. I love ESPN. So I moved the trophy league to ESPN, and which I'll be collecting due soon. and you are the reigning champion, so we have to try and knock you out. You have a nice little paperweight there, right, Kyle?
Oh, yeah, right here. Nice little paperweight.
Yeah, look at that.
Right here.
That is
right
a here. Damn good.
Nice and sparkly.
That is a good looking trophy there, Kyle. So I set the divisions up, and as I mentioned before we started, was I didn't get the option to do it without divisions. It was set up that way. So we have the West League and the East League. My buddy Kat's not in this league anymore, so I replaced him with my friend Ryan, and so he's joined the league. What is that draft? Is that the I have one on Sunday night. And then I have one on Sunday. So this one's for Monday, August 26th at 7 p.m. That is Pacific time, right? Right, Kyle?
Yeah.
So 10 p.m. your time, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have the other league, which is the regular ESPN league. And that one is set for 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. So...
Yep.
It's the Sunday night thing. So, I want to ask you about this CBS thing. You've been doing that for a while. I almost considered jumping over there. I'd actually like to play in that, but I don't want to start a new league right now. I'm already at 5.
Yeah, that's too many.
Yeah. So, and 4 of them I'm the commissioner for. So,
that's a Raider nerd problem.
yes, it is. But yeah, it's going to be a really interesting draft. Just pay attention to, the fantasy news out there, especially of the players that aren't, you know, suiting up and playing. Don't count on Melvin Gordon. Be very careful about Ezekiel. I mean, you know, he's still under contract, right? But he could be pulling.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left on that deal.
I see him playing even without an extension right now. So he would be safer to get. But I don't know, man. There we go.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you, we haven't done a deep fantasy preview because obviously we haven't had our drafts and we don't want to let all of our secrets out. But I'll do it if you'll do it. Let's put out one sleeper there for the listeners. Somebody who we might have earmarked as a sleeper.
I'm trying not to be a Raider homer because Josh Jacobs would be my sleeper, but is he really a sleeper? I don't think so.
Not after Matthew Berry raved about him.
Yeah. Gosh, man, there's just so many names out there. I've been mostly zeroing in on the Raiders because I've been paying attention, obviously, to that team. I've been obviously listening to other fantasy shows and such. I have to see a little more of the preseason to really feel good about anything that's not on the Raiders right now. I'm sorry. What about you?
There is somebody who I'm actually kind of interested in. I want to say it's James Washington, but I could be mistaken. But he is probably in line to be the second receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers behind Juju Smith-Schuster. This kid has had a really good preseason. I think he could be somebody who maybe not right out of the gate early in the season, but by the end of the season could be putting up some numbers.
I've actually heard of his name, yes. Man, that's a tough one. Well, I'm actually on, Roto Baller right now, and they have some draft sleepers and draft values. I'm looking at these names. I don't know, man. I know they were talking up Dante Moncrief earlier on another show. Now,
yeah, Dante Moncrief was. I've heard another name I like is Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, yeah, I've heard his name. This Devin Singletary, running back for Buffalo.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about him, but Buffalo's backfield is a lot more crowded. I like the kid for the Bears. That I want to say his last name is Davenport.
Right. Traquan Smith for New Orleans.
He could be interesting. New Orleans is going to be weird this year.
Yeah.
New Orleans is going to be a little bit strange. So it's going to be interesting to see how things play off there. But
Hold on. I'm curious about like defenses. You know, because everybody got hosed by the Jaguars last year, thinking they were going to pull another huge upset there.
You know what? I really like from what I've seen in the two preseason games. I like Pittsburgh's defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Pittsburgh's always been one of those teams, though, that you've kind of always drafted and just rode with them anyway. You know, they've always been consistent. Yeah. Kind of curious about the Patriots defense this year. What was the other defense? I don't know. Not Cincinnati. And who else?
I'm going to give you a sleeper defense, Kevin.
Okay, bring it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What have you seen? I know you live right around there, so you're hearing a lot of the Tampa Bay hoopla, but what makes you say that? I'm sorry, I had to giggle because of...
No, I mean, I get it. But here's the thing. They have completely changed their defensive scheme and system. Todd Bowles, who is the Jets coach, is their new defensive coordinator. And this guy is one of those guys. I think he's going to be like North Turner. North Turner, an offensive coordinator position, is a genius. Head coach, not so much. Todd Bowles is very much the same way. And they are running a defense that fits their players compared to what they were been running for the last couple of years, which didn't fit any of their players at all, but they still tried to force it. They're much more aggressive. They are... I think they have some better personnel. They have some depth issues, but I do think Tampa Bay's defense could be one to at least keep an eye on.
I probably shouldn't laugh at that because I'm looking at this article, this other defense article on the Roto Baller Place, and this is interesting because they picked a few here, and I wanted to run them by you because one of these was laughable last year, but they did have a good defense a year before, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. They're being picked as well.
You got to remember, Atlanta got destroyed by injuries last year on defense.
This is true. This is very true. So good point. Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Okay. Tennessee Titans. Those were the names that they threw out. A few sleeper picks there.
Yeah, except Tennessee's defense is going to be on the field an awful lot because their offense is terrible.
This is true. Yes.
So... But anyway, now I know you're getting ready to travel. You're headed to Dragon Con.
Yes, leaving next Tuesday.
So what will probably happen is our week one episode will probably combine with some of our picks for the season as far as division winners and playoff teams and things like that. But I'm going to ask you now, Kevin, because who's your sleeper team? Who's your team that you think might... And Raiders are disqualified, and obviously I can't pick the Chiefs. But who's your team outside of favorite teams that you could see rising up this year and being a surprise team?
Cleveland.
See, I don't even think that's a surprise team because so many people are picking them.
Okay. Surprise team. I really want to see Buffalo succeed, but that's just kind of a wish thing. But you know what? People staying healthy. I mean, Carolina, they were on my radar. Kind of a sleeper. Yeah. Is that a sleeper?
I think so when you look at that division.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
most everybody has it, Falcons and Saints.
Yeah. I think Carolina, if they can keep their primaries healthy. I'm just looking at divisions right now. Washington, no. Giants, no. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, Cowboys. I don't see any sleepers out of that. Sorry. Let's look at the AFC East. I mean, like I said, I don't know.
I think Buffalo is actually a pretty interesting pick to be a surprise team.
Yeah.
Because I think Josh Allen's going to be better this year than he was last year.
And I tell you right now, I am very interested in the possibility of a Josh Allen as either a possible starter in a fantasy team or a backup.
Yeah, with his rushing ability?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so like I said, we got week 3 of the preseason coming up. This is going to be the big week. A lot of teams running their kind of full starters for the half. Getting ready for the season, week 4. Yeah, Kevin, that's a good week for Kevin to be on vacation. Week 4 of the preseason. Good week for you to be on vacation anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay, wait, before we go, can I ask you something real quick? This was brought up. Raider Fans Radio was talking about this. I'm real quick for this weekend's third game here, where the Raiders are playing up in Winnipeg against Green Bay. It used to be, it seemed like that the third game was really the game you wanted to go and watch because that's when the starters would play the longest. But it hasn't been panning out that way the last couple of years. It seems like that because of injury probabilities, it's more of let's still throw these rookies and let them ride it and play it because this will really flush it out. So it almost feels like we've seen the best of what we're going to see from the starters from preseason. What is your take on that?
I think we'll see most of the starters play at least a quarter and a half, maybe not full half, depending on how things look. If the starters come out and look crisp, they might start pulling people right away. I think so many people are injury paranoid, but it kind of worries me because some of these guys just aren't getting, they need the time playing out there just to develop some rhythms with each other. You don't want players develop. You can only develop so much rhythm in practice. You have to get game time.
Yeah. The reason why I ask is because when the Raiders won their second game against, the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah.
Wait, Kevin, I just got to do one thing. Murph, I love you. You know, everything I say is out of fun rivalry, but you had the Raiders going to the Super Bowl after the half of preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals. I want to know what you were drinking and where can I buy
it? Enthusiasm, because I was feeling it. It was just fun to watch them actually be a team for once and kind of gel. I think we're more excited about seeing that happen. Than expecting him to go to the Super Bowl. And I know Murph, and I know I love him to death for saying that. And I got a really good giggle at that, but, you're right. But when I saw Carr come out and go, and throw a touchdown on the opening drive, and that was it. And with that first team offense that was going on right there without Antonio Brown, I was convinced that they seem to have something going on here. So do you really need to see those guys still keep playing? Honestly, I think the next two games are really going to be about all of the rookies and all of the people that are fighting for a team. You know, even the guys that are journeymen that are trying to get back onto a team again. You know, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to watch the final preseason game because I got an event at Dragon Con I'm going to be at, so...
Yeah, I think you see the starters play at least the entire first quarter. I think they still want to see players get into a little bit of rhythm, do a little things. They don't want these guys to get sitting rusty, but it's an interesting dichotomy that's going on in the NFL with that. But you know what, Kevin, you're not going to be back. We're gonna end up doing most of our picks probably after week one happens. But you know what? We need to at least pick the AFC West. We both have that's where our vested interest lies. Yep. We both do that. So let's go ahead before we close out here. Let's pick the AFC West.
Okay, I'll go first. I think your Chiefs are going to win it because I hate to say that because I'm a Raider fan, but I'm not going to – until the Raiders beat your Chiefs, you got to prove it to me. And the Chiefs are the team to beat in this division. I'm not counting out Denver like a lot of people are. So I think it could be like Chiefs – maybe between the Raiders and San Diego as the 2 and 3 spot. Denver, I think, is going to be – a lot of people are saying the Raiders are going to be at the bottom one, but I think the Raiders, being a Raider fan, of course, I have a lot more hopes for them. But it's your Chiefs. You get everyone's got a target. Your Chiefs have a target on their back, and they deserve that too. You got to beat the best to be the best.
Yeah, I have my Chiefs coming in as the favorite to win that division. I have San Diego second because they're always going to be the San Diego Chargers. I'm sorry, but LA second because they always show up in the regular season.
I keep saying San Diego too, don't I?
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah. But they always show up for the regular season. It's the playoffs where the Chargers choke. I think it's a battle between third and fourth between the Raiders and the Broncos, because I think they're the opposite sides of the same of the coin. I think the Raiders are going to have a pretty decent offense, but their defense is going to be suspect, while the Broncos are going to have a really good defense, but their offense is going to be a mess.
It's going to be interesting to see how much injuries will impact the AFC West.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big thing, team staying healthy. It's going to be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm excited. Yes,
keep an eye on Austin Eckler in your drafts, by the way.
Yeah, really. But with that, we're going to get out of here. We got some plays to draw up. We got a few audibles to make, but we will find you once again in the end zone.